Father, all glory to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Busy week this week in Jerusalem, 2000, however many years ago. Great week for Jesus. We probably didn't think so, but if we remember how he longed to share the Last Supper with his disciples and how he then went on to explain everything to them, and they finally got the message. They finally began to understand. He said, I've told you this while I'm still with you. Do you think they might have been a bit overwhelmed hearing all of what he had to say? In the Bible, when it's written in red, there's pages of red. And they're listening and trying to grasp it and thinking, how can I remember this? How can I get a hold of this? It's so much. Jesus had compassion on them. He understood where they were and he said, I've told you this while I'm still with you. But the help of the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. And I can tell you I'm relying on the Holy Spirit right now. The disciples were unsure, struggling to understand. They said, now you're speaking plainly. We know now that you know everything and that this makes us believe that you come from God. Can you imagine the joy that Jesus felt at that time? When they said that they finally understood. But he also knew what was going to happen, and he knew that their joy was probably a bit short-lived. So from his great heart, he said to them in John, verse 31 to 33, he said, do you believe now? The time is coming and is already here when all of you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and I will be left all alone. But I'm not really alone, because the Father is with me. I've told you this so that you will have peace by being united to me. Because he knew that he was going to face the cross alone, and he knew that the disciples would be terrified and flee and hide in their homes, and he knew the grief and the regret and the guilt that they are going to feel from deserting him. So he gave them these words of comfort. I am not really alone. The Father is with me. He comforted and assured them that despite all that would happen, all would be well. Because he has defeated the world. From there, Jesus went out to Gethsemane, where he prayed. He prayed for his disciples, for those that would believe the disciples and come to the Lord, and for those down the track like us. He prayed for us. His heart was full of burning love for others at this time when he knew what his journey was to be. He wasn't thinking about his suffering. He wasn't overwhelmed with fear or the busyness or the pressure of it. His heart was burning with love for others. Makes me think, how do I react during the week when it's a busy week and I have something to do on Friday? And you just want things to go quietly and they don't. How can you compare that? John 17, verse 20 to 21. Jesus said, I pray that they may all be one, Father, May they be in us just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be in us just as you are in me and I am in you. That's how much he loved us and how much he loves us. He wants us with him. Jesus then went to the place where he was betrayed and arrested and taken away. Through all of these verses, we see Jesus thinking only of his disciples and those to come, and how he spoke life, love, meaning into their lives, a man of compassion, reassuring and responding to them and their needs. After the trial, the violence, we see Jesus again, but this time he's crawling up a hill with a cross on his back to a terrible place. This time he wasn't alone at that place. There were two others, two thieves. One in fear and trembling, one in anger and bitterness. As they were crucified, and Jesus looked down and saw his mother and John, his disciple whom he loved, and Mary Magdalene, and a few others. All the other disciples had gone. His heart bled for his mum because he saw her grief, and as the eldest son, who was going to provide for her? So in his great heart of compassion, he said, John, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son. He provided for her at that time. The compassion of our Lord. And the thieves, each side of him. One so angry, so bitter, yelling out to him, you're the Messiah, aren't you supposed to be the Messiah? If you're the Messiah, come on, you can save us, get us down. The other, in fear and trembling. Can you imagine as he looked into Jesus' face, he looked across, and as Jesus looked across and their eyes met, can you imagine that moment for that thief? Maybe he'd worked the crowds while Jesus was preaching. Maybe he'd pickpocketed people that were being ministered to. And there he was on a cross, looking at the eyes of Jesus. And he said, remember me, Jesus, when you come as king. He knew who Jesus was. He rebuked the other thief because he said to the other thief, hang on, we're here because we did something wrong. This man has done no wrong. Aren't you afraid of God? Aren't you afraid? What's going to happen? And Jesus looked across at this thief who was in the same agony as him, and he saw the fear in his heart, and he said these beautiful words. He said to him, I promise you that this day you will be with me in paradise. I love that. I promise you. If Jesus promises something, it's going to be delivered. I promise you that this day you will be in paradise with me. I promose you as the assurance. And I think about us in this world. You know, the Lord has said, my peace I leave with you. I give you my peace. Not as the world knows, but it's my peace. It's the peace of God. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It gives you joy and hope and a purpose and meaning in your life. You know, it is paradise to have that peace. Because in amongst all of what happens in our lives, we have this wonderful peace of God and the assurance that Jesus is with us and that he loves us and everything's going to be okay. So when Jesus said to this thief, I promise you that this day you will be in paradise with me, it's the same as he says to us. I promise you, this day, today, right now, You will be, you are in paradise because we have his peace. We live in paradise on this earth with Jesus. It's a wonderful place of joy and peace amidst all of what the world tries to do to us. We are not alone. We are with Jesus always. Jesus recognized the fear. He knows us, you know, he knows us so well. And he gives us what we need when we turn to him. When Michael asked me if I would speak today, I made a promise to Michael that I would say yes, that the answer would be yes if he was to ask me something. So, of course, I had to say yes. So then I asked the Lord, Lord, what is it? What is it today? And the word came across like a this, and the word is compassion. Compassion. And I kind of walked in fear and trembling because years ago when I used to teach Sunday school and you'd sort of look at what is the lesson the next week, oh, I just know that I have to live that lesson before I can teach it. So when the Lord said to me, compassion, I don't consider myself to be a very compassionate person. And I thought, I'm in for a bit of a week. And I have been. What I've learned and what came to me is a song that some of us will know from way back where the chorus says, unless I am moved or except I am moved by compassion, how dwelleth thy spirit in me? In word and in deed, burning love. Stop that now. In word and in deed, burning love is my need. I know I will find it in thee. So, unless we have a compassionate heart, how can God's Spirit live in us? Unless we can look at others, you know, and compassion, what does that mean? Sympathetic? Sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortunes of others. That's what the dictionary says. Sympathetic. I'm not real keen on that definition. I think a better meaning is to recognise the suffering of others and then to take action to help as much as you can. It's a strong emotional response that creates a desire in us to help. Not to necessarily to rescue. It's not our job to save people, but to respond as we can and as the Lord leads us. So, unless I am moved by compassion, how dwelleth thy spirit in me? If I can't feel compassion for people, I have to ask the Lord for more love. I need that burning love that he had, that he has, where during all of what he went through, his heart was for everyone else and not for his own needs and suffering and dignity and pride and suffering and pain. His heart's for us. So I've chosen a song for us to sing and I'd like us to ponder it before we do. And it's Mighty to Save, and it starts, the words are, if we could have the first verse, Neil, please. Everyone needs compassion. Now, I'm selfish. I sing this in light of my need for compassion and my need for mercy. But no, everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me, not for mercy for me, but let me be filled with mercy so that I can have compassion and love. Everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs kindness and hope. Because that's what Jesus gives us, hope. And then Saviour, he can move the mountains. Now, I tend to think of the mountains are, you know, the blocks that get in the road of people doing the right thing. But what if I'm the mountain? You know, what if my lack of compassion? What if my pride, what if my desires, what if my need to control, what if all of that is the mountain? And that needs to be moved. Because then the Spirit can flow through, and then God is mighty to save. You know, so I'd like us to ponder this as we sing it. We're going to sing it a little slower. And think of our Lord and His compassion this morning.